Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Star Wars Minute. It's the daily podcast where we analyze, scrutinize, and celebrate the Star Wars movies 1 minute at a time. I'm Pete Three Taylor from PeteTheRetailer.com.
I'm Alex Robinson from AlexRobinson.fun.
I am Paul F. Tompkins, one of the hosts of the Pod F. Nopes. I am Paul F. Tompkins. Well, but the first part is right.
Yes.
I am Paul F. Tompkins, one of the hosts of the Stay F. Homekins podcast.
Yes, thank you for coming out of your homekins to join us for talking about Star Wars, Paul.
Well, of course, I am just off the coast of Catalina. I appreciate you guys inviting me back on the show. I tried to make it a working vacation.
Sure. Well, you know,
you're riding out the pandemic on your yacht.
I've been here for a long time. What's it like there?
Yeah, comes and goes. We have something well called Loki charms now. That's the. I feel like I've made that. That's my constant like watermark for how society is going. We were joking a week or two about something, and it was like, "How's it going?" Well, we have something called Loki charms now. It's you know, it's a if you can judge anything by that, they're mashing up the monster cereals this year. So I don't know why. Yeah, all my notes on society are breakfast cereal related. So
can I look? We like to joke around, but. Are they seriously mashing up the Monster Breakfast cereals?
Monster Mash is coming out in.
They're just doing that now?
I know, right? I think it's for the like 40th anniversary, 50th anniversary, whatever it is now. I guess 50th anniversary, they're doing Monster Mash.
Of the song or the cereal?
It's a tie. It would be great if it came with a little flexi disc. Like, I cannot imagine that would taste good. Maybe they spent this long trying to figure out like, well, I don't know, like how do we make, you know, all these flavors work? Well, like if we have to include Fruit Brute in here, but also chocolate, like can't all be good together. So maybe it's just took years, 50 years of balancing the flavoring just right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fruit and chocolate don't belong together, and I'll die on that hill. And let me tell you something. If you invite me to your wedding and that wedding cake has a fruit layer in it, your marriage is doomed. I'm calling
statistically,
it.
That is statistically proven.
I would actually, right, I would love to know the stats on that. How many marriages crumbled that had a fruit layer in their wedding cake?
Get those Freakonomics boys on that. They'll take care.
It's cause and effect, maybe. What's that? Anyway, well, let's. Spurious causality. What's the? There's some website that does good. Like it'll find graphs that kind of match their rough curve, and post them together to be like, see. And it's just like it's stuff that has nothing to do with each other, but like because the curve vaguely is close enough, it's just like see,
right? Like maybe the price of carrots went up, and at the same time, the number of drone fatalities went up.
And exactly. So there's like, well, must be a connection there. Anyway.
Is this the gang working on the monster cereals?
We'll see. We'll also see what happens in minute 106 of Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi. 106 starts with Kylo Ren igniting his lightsaber, and it ends with Rey being drawn to one of the Praetorian guards. She just finds herself just drawn to him.
That happens.
Yeah. You know, he's a man in uniform.
He looks cool.
He does.
I will say this up front. This upcoming laser sword duel, it's not quite a duel because they're not fighting each other. They're fighting, you know, and some nerds get angry about that, that there's no true lightsaber duel in this entire movie. But this is one of my all-time favorite Star Wars bits, like, ever. Like, this fight here ranks with the top anything from the original trilogy and prequels, whatever. So,
could not agree more.
Yeah.
Right.
And also lightsaber fights. You've seen plenty of them. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you miss one, is it really going to make that much of a difference?
We got to see what the latest moves are so that when it'll refreshes the whole cosplayer scene. Everyone has all new things to do.
But it's like, but you can still have that without the duel. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Look, after you see an asthmatic robot wielding four lightsabers.
Yeah, where are you going to go from there?
Right.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
It's definitely up there. And it, you know, it's a good balance. I think that's what makes it, you know, a more interesting thing. Like Paul just said, like, you've seen a lightsaber duel. You've seen, you know, they can mix up the moves a little bit, but it's going to be the same unless you mix up the dressing of it, essentially. And you change the cool, the visuals. And, you know, what one of the reasons why the Empire Strikes Back duel is so, you know, iconic, because that the visuals are constantly kind of, you know, they're stark and very, very memorable in terms of, you know, the silhouetting and then the lighting, the dramatic lighting with orange and teal stuff going on in the chamber and all that.
I also think that the fact that it's just two of them taking on this whole big group in a sort of claustrophobic space, adds a new wrinkle to it, instead of like some big gigantic battle where there's like hundreds of people and it's out on a field and whatever. This is like, it feels way more immediate and less CGI, you know, like they're fighting people, and you know, it's the choreography of it is really terrific and fun. I love this.
Yeah.
I love it. But speaking of the choreography, when you go through, this is one of the perils of doing a movie 1 minute at a time. When you go through a minute and watch it intensely over and over again,
it
really makes you appreciate how little you notice that there's just guys standing in the background waving sticks around to make it seem like there's fighting going on. But they really, you know, because you really have to look at it. It's a special talent, I guess, to be able to do that. To like come up with a lot of stuff that looks like a lot of guys are fighting, but it's really only two people fighting and other people like standing around, you know.
It's an endless film conundrum because we want to see these battles, but it is like, why wouldn't they all just go at once? Of course, that's what would happen. Of course.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, it's, what are you going to do?
Or you think they would at least have tactics or saying, all right, so if two of us are fighting one guy, let's team up in ways that effectively uses that.
Like, I'll squat down beneath his legs and you push him and we'll just stab him with it.
Yeah.
But no. I noticed that there's a couple of, I first had it noted for tomorrow, actually, but there really are, like, it's fun to point out the guys who are just kind of standing there spinning or whatever while this other thing is going on. They're like over by the wall just spinning with their sword, which maybe it's, you know, it's a way to psych themselves up.
Mm-hmm. Like Popeye winding up his fist.
Yeah, exactly. You can hear that kind of dynamite, like, mur, 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 as they start going.
Before the fight actually starts, there's almost one of these little Avengers type minutes where it's like doing the comic book cover of them. I really love the way it looks. It's like they're back to back and it has like a symmetry to it, and it's all reflected in the floor, so it's like so really like a beautiful composition there in the have we ever seen that, like that slow motion pause kind of thing? That's so I guess like Zack Snyder is the king of that thing now. So, mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, I don't think we've seen it in Snyder Star Wars shot. Ever.
No,
it,
I don't think
it
so,
is
right?
notable because yeah. it's very yeah. modern, but not, you know, this is a perfect example of, you know, not all modern stuff is bad in your Star Wars. Like you can mix in the modern language of film into stuff and still keep it Star Wars, but it's a living, breathing, it's like language, you know, it evolves and it grows as we go.
Yeah.
But in like language, there are still people that are clinging to outmoded ways of speech where it's like, you know, we all know what that means now. We don't have to like, you know what I mean? You don't have to be a stickler for like, eventually it all falls away. Prepositions at the end of sentences. That's actually fine. It doesn't matter. You know, it's all about communication, you know? And if you are communicating the right thing, then it shouldn't be an issue the way you say it. One of my biggest pet peeves is adults correcting other adults on grammar. Mm. It's like, you don't need to do that. I think this person knows, and I think there is such a thing as colloquial speech, and it's just this pointless pedantry that spills over into a fandom sometimes where people are like, this isn't exactly like the thing that I remember it being. I want it to be a certain way. That's one of the reasons I love this movie so much is because I grew up with Star Wars. Like I'm old enough to have seen all of them in the theater multiple times. And so I loved this. This is my favorite Star Wars movie because I did like so much of the modern stuff that he brought to this. And I liked where he went with the story. It was unfortunate that it all got erased in the next movie, but I really enjoyed the themes and the messages that he was putting into this. And it was fun to have a Star Wars movie that didn't just feel like, I felt like Force Awakens, great, we checked all the boxes, we're back, here's new people mixed with old people, great, now we're going into the next phase of the story and we're going to change things. And then after that, it's like, this has always been a story of Skywalkers and Palpatines or whatever. And it's like, has it? So, yeah.
Yeah, it really, and you know, there's hope for the future still as they're going to keep making more. And hopefully they do, you know, not always take the wrong lessons from, especially online criticism and stuff like that. That, you know, it seems like they are moving forward and not at the same time, in a sense, you know, that there's, you know, with Disney Plus and all kinds of other stuff, it allows them a little bit of leeway to be like, okay, do you like old but not old? Wait, what about this? What if we make it kind of newish but also very familiar? You know, they're tweaking it, so hopefully there'll be, you know, there's still room for experimentation, but
yeah,
it might be a little while before we get it on the big screen like this again.
It's kind it's kind of interesting that Star Wars is almost like its own thing in terms of, I mean, nerds get mad about every movie that's coming out, no matter what it is. But like Star Wars has had, like, it's never been rebooted. It's like the only thing that's one continuous story. You know, no other franchise really has, I guess Star Trek technically is, but they've had multiple casts and people still get mad about that anyway. But so Star Wars is really almost like the most, like, conservative of the, like, not in terms of politically, but in terms of like its own, you know, myth and everything. It's like one true story that is, you know, now like Spider-Man, we know if it's something we don't like, the next one they'll change it, it'll be something different. I like that one better, but
compare and contrast with, you know, we spent some time last summer watching a bunch of the James Bond movies and it's like, oh, there's no kind of deference paid to continuity at all, but it's just like, you get it though. It's James Bond, he's doing a thing. Like we don't need, you know, we don't have to be weighed down by all this lore and what's canon, but
and no one gets mad about James Bond.
I like how James Bond, they don't even have to come up with new stories anymore, they're just like, well, let's go back to the beginning, like same dudes, different faces, but now everybody has cell phones.
Yeah.
Well, I like that. That's kind of more honest. That's, you know, the
absolutely
same way, like the same way they're always going to redo Batman. And you're always going to see his origin again. And you're, you know, it's in Spider-Man too. Like if it's,
Spider-Man anyway. 2.
Yeah. Wrong show.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Well, I wanted to, while we're here in the beginning of the throne room bit, I wanted to give a shout out to Tonchi Zonyich, which sounds like it could be one of the characters in the movie, but no. He is an illustrator who did a lot of the conceptual designs for this and some of the stuff for Solo and all that. I was not aware of his work until recently, and I like it a lot. He's done some, looks like he's done some kind of Hellboy spinoff comics and stuff like that. It has a very kind of interesting style.
Red, black, and that's his color scheme.
Yeah, and that if you look at the concept art for these, it's almost direct, like straight from the page to, they're like, oh yeah, great. And then just kind of, you know, made these Praetorian guards straight out of his work. So it's really cool looking.
Anyway. That's cool. Good work, Paunchy.
I have some in-universe factoids about the Praetorian armor.
Oh, not about Tonchi Zonyich.
Not about... I keep thinking that anyway, they're apparently, if you'll notice, this is armor that can deflect lightsabers, something we haven't really seen before. Right. So the price for that is that the armor is very heavy to wear and ultimately very painful for the guys wearing the suits.
Hmm.
Like it's, which seems to me like you probably don't fight that many guys with lightsabers. So like having to wear those lightsaber painful suits seems kind of like overkill.
Right.
I guess if you're guarding a lightsaber guy, then the lightsaber guy is going to say, you know what you need? You absolutely have to have lightsaber repelling armor.
Right.
It's probably not going to come up, but you do have to wear it every single day and stand behind me all day long. I never leave this room, by the way.
Right. You can't just stand right outside the door, one of you with one of these suits. No, I have 12 of you inside.
I need a dozen dudes behind me, a couple on the sides. I'm a weird circus freak.
Look, if you're in the room, you have to be wearing lightsaber-proof armor. It's safety regulations. Come on.
But now, so Alex, it's in-universe that it's painful for the guys, not on set.
Well, probably both, yeah.
Probably both, yes. If Matt Gourley is to be believed, yes, they are uncomfortable to wear in real life. But yeah. Not that he's worn these, but, you know, the Stormtrooper costumes. Yeah. These are probably even worse. So.
But was he wearing...
Although they do have to do a lot more stunt work, so maybe they are more... you know, in flexible. Real life, they're probably more flexible and lighter than the Stormtrooper costumes.
But, has Matt worn the regulation Stormtrooper armor or just stuff that's available to consumers?
It's like the prosumer Stormtrooper armor. He's got the, you know, it's not the just kind of straight off the shelf one. It's like a, you know, you go to the... You go to your armor dealer and you're like, I would like this. And they see what size you are. And then it takes a couple of weeks, I think, for them to get it to you.
Well, if it's bespoke, there's no excuse for it to be uncomfortable.
What? Still, they pride themselves on their accuracy. So in order for it to be screen accurate, I think it has to be uncomfortable in certain places.
Yeah. I want to hear from some stormtroopers. Hey, if you were a stormtrooper and it was uncomfortable in that armor, we want to hear from you. Dial 1 for yes and 2 for no.
We're just going to get a bunch of voicemails that are just like, beep, beep.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess that was a stormtrooper. one other thing from the I mean, we'll keep coming back to the throne room the whole week, but I do also like the the kind of sparks and damage to the floor that are happening.
Yes.
Yes.
Which, is not a new thing. You know, remember there were the wall was on fire when Obi-Wan and Darth Vader fought on the Death Star, but nice to see it actually having an effect on the surroundings.
Yeah.
Even when it's not, you know, dramatically appropriate, like, oh, yeah, I cut a hose, therefore there's you know, a coolant leak or something like that. But
right,
no,
right,
it's just from the swinging around and stuff. Every once in a while, there's going to be a ding or a spark, and it's cool.
And it felt really like, for lack of a better term, real. It felt visceral, and it felt like, you know, like accurate, I guess. Like it didn't seem like a convenient thing, like you say, you know, when you slice the hose in half and all the dry ice comes out, it felt like, oh, wow, that thing really does damage. It doesn't just slice hoses. It puts grooves in a floor.
Yeah. It can cut a tin can in half and then go back and cut a tomato.
There is one part where Kylo Ren just kind of as a sort of, I don't know, post killing someone flourish, just kind of like stabs into the floor and like sparks shoot up. But it seems like if you're fighting, if you're already outnumbered, like 2 to 8 guys or whatever, like that really shows you his confidence that he's taking time to just hit the floor just for drama rather than going to fight immediately, go fight another guy. It's sort of
like, who is watching, right? I guess some of the guards are watching.
Well, yeah. And Ray, maybe he's trying to impress Ray. Maybe he's like, oh, on the cool moves.
Yeah, on the off chance that she's glancing over there.
He keeps these. Like, wait, check it out. Watch. Does that look cool? That look
Ray,
cool.
Ray, are you watching me?
Ray. well, so should we switch over to our friends DJ and the Bear? DJ Finn and Rose?
Oh. Yes. Yeah, we get we get a brief shot between the two of everybody in a spaceship, right? Mm-hmm. We go from throne room to spaceship, and it's a very brief segment in the spaceship of basically just Poe saying like, "Go fast," and she's like, "Yes, sir, I'm going fast." And it's like,
yeah.
That once again, Poe, you know, he's still learning. He's not the best leader because, like, I think going up to somebody and being like, "Drive fast" when you're trying to escape is probably not. Although I think of the, you know, the You Only Move Twice, you know, the Simpsons episode where Homer is, you know, goes into his management position and he goes in, he's like, hey, you guys, think you guys could work any faster? And they're like, oh, sure thing. And they just pick it up a little bit. And he's like, that's his management technique. And so maybe Poe is just kind of like, if I tell her full speed, she might just be going fast, but we might want to have some safety or something. So she might not be going full speed yet.
A lot of people are afraid to go full speed. They think it's unsafe, but we're in space. It's fine.
But the woman that he's yelling at here, Alex, did you have information on this pilot?
No, oh, let's have it.
This is exciting.
This pilot's name is, the character's name is Pamich Nero Good.
Huh? Is there a hyphen in there, I assume?
No.
Oh.
Well, there should be, perhaps, because there was some disagreements over what her name was. She was originally listed as Ensign Good.
Yeah.
And then at one point, one other source, I think, just listed it as Pamich Nero. And then eventually they just resolve that into like, oh, yeah, her name is Pamich Nero Good. So it's possible that she married, Mr. or Mrs. Good and became Pamich Nero Good.
Between these listings.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. After the card game came out, she was like, oh, that's my maiden name.
And forgive me if you guys have talked about this, and forgive me double if we have talked about this before. But everyone you see on screen in a Star Wars movie, even though it may not be in the credits, has a name. Is that correct?
90% or more.
It seems to be that way.
Let's say
the examples are noteworthy. 94%. That's, let's put it that way. Like when someone shows, there was a guy in the, who's a, has a line in the movie and on, still as of this writing, unidentified pilot. So.
Wow. That is, that's wild.
It seems like someone like bought the domain name and they're like, hey, do you want to be named that? Do you want this character named after you? Give us a call.
This is the this is the new name a star after someone.
Right. Yeah. but yes, Pamich Narrowgood, played by Crystal Clark. This is her second appearance. She was in The Force Awakens as Pamich Narrowgood.
She reprised her role.
She did.
Two-picture deal.
Yeah. And apparently
now that's an agent.
It was the result of like an open casting call. There was, you know, tens of thousands of people like, hey, you want to be in the new Star Wars? And I can imagine going through that and being like, ah, and like making it through every round and then being like, great, you're Pamich Narrowgood. And you're going to have one line in like where somebody, Poe yells at you. And it's like, oh, okay. Like,
sure.
Yeah. I mean, it would be like mild disappointment, but then also like, oh, cool. Like, all right. Like, I would totally go for that.
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I would absolutely be, I would be an alien. I would be in armor, whatever, just to do that. But then I'm of two minds about this because I'm a working performer. And if I were to get an audition for something, that would be great. I feel weird about just taking a little half a second cameo as a thing in the background, because that would mean so much. There are people that would never get the chance to do that if I got to do that. There are some examples I could think of in a movie that is to come later, where I think that is poor form. But I understand it. If you're a director, it's your show. You do what you want. But you know, I do think that as much as I would love that, I guess I would rather like do it through legitimate channels than if I had a favor from somebody.
Right. You want to be a Star Wars on your own merits. You want them to be like, you know who's great for this? Paul F. Tompkins.
I just want to always know that I'd be good enough to do it.
Well, because, like we were wondering, like I was thinking, it's weird to me in a way that Patton Oswalt has not been in an MCU thing. And we were speculating like, well, maybe he knows at some point he will be, because it's like inevitable.
Well,
yeah, like, but he's kind of like holding out.
Obviously.
Yeah. He doesn't want to be.
We don't know what happened behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Do you want to be Iron Man?
M-O-D-O-K or nothing. Yeah, it's a tough. I can see that being like, you know, it's almost like you're as they presumably keep making more of these, there will be more, you know, it'll be less exclusive to kind of get a part like a more substantial part, I would assume, as they keep going on and on. So like, you know,
they're going to run out of people.
Yeah. That's like Law and Order. Every new actor in New York City has been on Law and Order.
Okay. Right. Now, you know, let me tell you something. I lived in New York for a year. I did not even get an audition for a Law and Order. Uh-huh. It made me feel like a failure.
Oh, no.
And another thing is when I was watching The Mandalorian, all these comedians turning up on this, like, when did this happen? I didn't see these in the breakdowns.
Yeah, you got to get in on that.
Oh, I'd love to.
Let me. My father-in-law, who's an actor, now retired, but he was on at least 5 Laws and Order.
I love that the most, when people are just coming back as various characters. Yeah. They're the judge.
The
they're
guy.
The criminal. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's some very old school, very like Columbo or like, you know, like.
Right. Nobody will notice that Tibor was also Giordano. It's fine. but now we get to the Finn and Rose and DJ arc.
Mm-hmm.
Finn is very upset. He calls DJ a murdering bastard.
Have we heard bastard before on Star Wars?
I'm trying to think. I don't
recall that. I think, no. Is this the the dirtiest word that's been uttered in Star Wars to date?
in English, there's been some
good point. R2-D2, of course, famously right, yeah. curses all the time. Other people reacting to him. Why would you program that into a robot?
And partner him then with the most easily offended robot in the entire
prissy.
Galaxy.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, opposites attract.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's
the way they work together.
A lesson for us all.
What does DJ say to... So Finn says, you murdering bastard.
Right.
And what does DJ say? Take it easy.
Big F.
BF?
Big F. That's I'm only going to refer to Finn as Big F from here on in the film.
Big F.
Now that's a modern touch I don't enjoy. I could have done without Big F.
Take it easy, Big F.
Well, I thought because didn't Han Solo call him Big Shot in the or Big Deal?
Yeah, well,
wasn't
he
his nickname
introduced himself. He was like, I'm kind of a big deal in the resistance, and so then Han was just like, all right, here you go, big deal. Like that was organic, and that was between Kane and here. It's just like.
Something about Finn just radiates to be taken down with a big something insult. Yeah. It's just he can't help himself.
But then his line after that. So you know he's like, all right, take it easy, Big F, and that hey they blow up you blow them up one day, they blow up you, they blow you up the next day. You know that basically that his stance of like, yeah, it's all the same. You know, don't join. Yeah. That's his thing.
It's his acronym.
Is
that true? An acronym?
Is it an acronym or it's an initialism?
Initials, yeah.
Initialism. Yeah, you're right. My apologies.
I don't mean to be an adult correcting another adult on grammar, but.
Don't sweat it, Big A.
You did ask.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the worst.
He does sound, it's a theme and it'll come back not from DJ too. And then there's an interesting kind of underlying thing of like, yeah, these are, Star Wars and not everybody's mm-hmm. not always going to be on the right side, even though they're on the right side, you know, things are going to get kind of dirty, which is a stark contrast from the original, you know, famously the original Star Wars being very much kind of like, okay, good guys, bad guys.
Yeah. It's very much, I like one of the things I liked about this movie is it explores more how the stuff that's going on between the Empire and the Rebellion affects regular people. And right. I love that DJ's, it's not a noble stance, but it is an understandable stance in this crazy world where there's constantly these fights going on between these two groups, and it affects all these other people that have nothing to do with either side. Like they have nothing whatsoever to do with it. It's like this weird, you know, almost tribal, disagreement that's been going on for however long. And then there's the rest of the galaxy was just like, what the what's happening?
And the fact that it's really only like one family that this is causing all of these problems.
Exactly.
And then it's like fireworks again. What happened? I don't know. Somebody threw somebody else down a shaft.
However, I would say this to DJ. If one side is constantly building planet killing devices, I think it's easier to pick a side.
True. Although we don't, have I said this on air? I don't know. Cause I might have
both sides are to blame.
I might have wanted to keep this.
Verify people on both sides.
Yeah. No, I might have wanted to keep this in my pocket for a potential, story pitch, but I love the idea of like, both of these sides are at war. And based on what we saw in Rogue One, they will often, you know, even the Rebellion will resort to tactics that we mm-hmm. might not find agreeable. And given that in Rogue One, they get the plans for the Death Star, I find it hard to believe that the Rebellion / New Republic did not build their own Death Star in secret during the scope of the original trilogy. They have the plans. They have the, you know, wherewithal eventually.
During the Rebellion phase? Because where would they get the money for it? Like, where would they get the
credits?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
How are we going to pay for it? Starts to
grow on trees.
This is a multi-billion credit operation.
If they, it's, that's the story to be told, I guess. Where are they going to get the money from if it's during the Rebellion era? Otherwise, then immediately post Return of the Jedi, I can't see why they wouldn't. Why they would totally. New Republic build a New Republic Death Star, you know.
Totally. Freedom Star, you mean.
Yeah, exactly. The Freedom Star.
But yeah.
That's neither here nor there. While we're still on DJ, I also, his line in response where Finn is like, no, you're wrong. Like, everything's, you know, this means that there's meaning behind this. And he just kind of looks and he's like, maybe. That is something that I find myself low-key quoting all the time. Like, when I say, like, you know, if somebody, you know, if I'm responding to a question and I say maybe, mm-hmm. I'm saying it like DJ and nobody knows except in my head. just like, you know, a couple of weeks ago when he was escaping prison and they, you know, they were holding it, they were like, all right, hands up. And he's like, yeah, man. Like, I mix that into my vernacular a little bit. These little things that I'm just kind of like low-key quoting DJ. I mean, like, maybe.
Now I wish it had been one of the lines he had chosen to stutter, because then it would be more obvious that it was if you were doing him. Right. If you were like, you know.
I don't think I would have done. I don't think I would mix that into my vernacular. Not, you know.
Oh, so you're saying the fact that they're not stuttering lines, that's yes. makes it. Okay.
Why did he have a stutter? Did Benicio del Toro have a stutter in real life at some point? He didn't, right? Because I remember trying to look this up. Yeah. Because it was such a curious character choice.
Yeah.
And it didn't really, I didn't really get it. And I guess, was it to make us trust him more? Have you guys discussed this already? I'm so sorry. But
a little bit, but we haven't gotten to the bottom of it. So
I just very little concrete. It's all speculation. So
yeah,
feel free.
Man, it feels like a thing that he thought, he had some reason for it. He shows up to set and he's doing it and it's too late. It's right. Like, okay, I don't know. I guess I got to let you do that because you've been at this longer than I have. I'm probably not going to be able to talk you out of it. And, you know, I don't want to have to, you know, go over your head to the, you know, the people in charge of the franchise or whatever and say, can you tell him not to do this?
It almost feels like it's, I almost picture like any big star who shows up in a Star Wars, like they're like, well, what do you think? And he's like, hey, what if I do a stutter? You know, like it's just like, in our, you know, as an actor, they're going to want to push it. Well, I'm eating an apple the whole time. And, you know, doing all these like actorly kind of like, you know, bit. And he has a lot of that stuff. He's constantly picking stuff out of his hat and fiddling with stuff. So I could see that as being just part of the choice. And then they're just kind of like either too starstruck or, you know.
Yeah. Some actors love business. It's true.
Yeah.
They love
or it's like something like the Love Guru where they're just kind of like, yeah, this is so awesome. And then when they, once they're, you know, like they're seeing it like in real life, they're like, oh my God, that's.
It looks different on film than on set.
Is this what we shot?
We really should have watched this movie closer before we.
What's so funny is that after the Love Guru, Ashton Kutcher still did that commercial for Pop Chips. Where he was essentially being the Love Guru. It's like, did you not get the word that people did not like when this happened?
Maybe he was counting on the counter backlash, you know, when everyone admitted that it really was actually a pretty funny movie.
Right.
I hope I don't live to see that.
Interestingly, we've heard from a handful of listeners who do stutter and have said that they liked... While they don't necessarily find his performance realistic, because it is very much more of like an affectation, almost like a tic than an actual stutter, but they did find his essentially the representation where like he's not an idiot bumbling character.
He's not a comedic character. He's smart. He's shrewd. Yeah.
It's not played for laughs. It's just like he's because
it's
he's
just distracting.
Yeah, it is distracting. And it is, you know, I understand maybe the thought process behind it where it's just like, oh, he's this master code breaker who's got so much math going on inside of his head, basically, that it's like, you know, it's hard for him to get words out. And that seems to be accurate to essentially how the process works from what we've heard. But also, like, it's not, I think the execution is not quite there for me.
But I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that.
I feel sad for stutterers that they're so desperate for representation that even though like he's basically a bad guy, they're like, oh, good enough.
Yeah.
You know, he's competent. That's good. Yes. That's a step in the right direction. Yeah. So, you know, it's like, you know, anyway, yeah. So
yeah, hold out, stutterers.
Yeah. Yeah. More stuttering heroes is what we need. Mm-hmm. So,
well, this, I think all of this stuff kind of continues into tomorrow's notes, right? We have more of the throne room, more of the everything. Paul, can you come back tomorrow and talk with us again about more of this movie?
Yeah, I'm supposed to sail back to Los Angeles, but it shouldn't be a problem.
Okay.
Yeah,
we can. We'll do our best to accommodate. I don't know what the, you know.
No. By that time I should be home. Everything should be fine. So yeah, okay. Count me in.
All right. Well, listeners, if you are, let's see, what? Well, if you want to call us and let us know if you have Stormtrooper armor and or have they made replica versions of the Praetorian Guard armor? Probably. Have you cosplayed as a Praetorian Guard? It's possible. Call us. Let us know. Our phone number is 8DayGreedo. If you leave a message, there's a chance that it'll end up on a future episode of Star Wars Minute.
Star Wars Minute.
Star Wars Minute.